Tonight at Today SOR.
Last night in Westminster, British MPs adopted a cross-party Brexit amendment that allows Parliament to seize control of the House of Commons agenda and to hold a series of indicative votes. Now, these would be aimed at discovering what, if any, options can secure a majority in Parliament. It's obviously a fresh blow for Theresa May, who said there is no guarantee that she'll abide by the results. Meanwhile, the prominent hardline Brexiteer Jacob Rees-Mogg has now indicated that he is moving towards supporting the Prime Minister's deal rather than risk there being no Brexit. Here's what he had to say to the fortnightly Mogcast on the Conservative Home website.
The Prime Minister will not deliver a no-deal Brexit. But I've always thought that no-deal is better than Mrs. May's deal, but Mrs. May's deal is better than not leaving at all. And so there is a sort of hierarchy of choice. And if the choice is the one you suggest, then inevitably leaving the European Union, even leaving it inadequately and having work to do afterwards, is better than not leaving at all.
Jacob Rees-Mogg now on the line. Dawn Foster, columnist with The Guardian. Dawn, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, how significant a turn is this, or potential turn?
It's very, very significant. So I think last night, obviously, MPs voted to try and take control of the Brexit situation. And I think for the hardline Brexiters like Jacob Rees-Mogg and possibly the DUP, that signals that if there is a Brexit, it could be a lot softer than May's deal. So I think a lot of the hardline Brexiters who wanted a quite extreme Brexit are realising now that if they don't back May's deal, then other MPs could soften it and we could end up with a Norway-style deal, which, you know, would make them a lot more unhappy than May's present deal. So if Jacob Rees-Mogg moves, the ERG might move and the DUP might possibly follow, in which case Theresa May's deal would finally get over the threshold it needs.
Because the feeling yesterday, certainly, in the course of the day, was that the DUP were going in the opposite direction to that in which Mrs. May wanted them to go. Arlene Foster on the phone saying, no, they're not prepared to back it. Their leader in the Commons showing almost disdain towards Mrs. May and her speech. And so I'm just wondering what has changed. Is it just this realisation, OK, we're now at the 11th hour, or even we're later than that, we're at 5 to midnight?
Yes, absolutely. I think basically yesterday in Westminster, the votes were very significant. The Oliver Letwin amendment was very significant. And it meant that on Wednesday, MPs will come back and try and find a consensus for a deal amongst them. And that could mean a much softer Brexit is voted upon, in which case, you know, Theresa May would either ignore them all, or she would have to go back to Brussels and say, I have a consensus for this type of Brexit. Is this deal more acceptable? And so, obviously, the hardline Brexiters don't want that. I mean, the DUP will have to decide whether to accept May's deal. You know, even though they have said that they're not happy with the backstop, or, you know, face a much softer Brexit, which will look nothing like the kind of thing that Nigel Dodd and Sammy Wilson have wanted.
Yes, and they want the backstop removed. I mean, that's their position. I mean, they were saying as recently as the last few days, look, there's still negotiation that can be done. Mrs. May just backed away from that. Now, that is seen by, I think, most people, certainly on the EU side, as being utterly unrealistic. This matter is closed. You're either going to take the deal or you're not.
Yes, absolutely. I think the DUP have to wake up and realise that the backstop won't change, so they either back this deal or they, you know. When I've been in events in London around Westminster, you know, Nigel Dodds has said repeatedly that his ideal situation is a no-deal Brexit that falls upon World Trade Organization rules. So they're very happy to see no deal. But I wonder if they panic, instead of no deal or May's deal, you end up with a much, much softer option, which really, really changes things.
And what about people like Boris Johnson? It was noted by several commentators and analysts yesterday that despite the high-flown rhetoric in his column, his usual column in The Telegraph on a Monday morning, he still left himself the escape route of perhaps reluctantly, however reluctantly, voting for the deal at the end of the day.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Boris Johnson's main concern is Boris Johnson and Boris Johnson's future. He has been very, very slippery. I mean, in his previous column with The Telegraph, he wrote two versions of a column, one supporting Brexit, one supporting Remain. So, you know, he's definitely left himself an escape route, and it's all because, you know, his only concern is Boris Johnson and Boris Johnson's future and Boris Johnson's, you know, path to power.
And it's interesting as well that prior to this, certainly in the last two or three weeks, that Rees-Mogg has been saying, "Look, I've been looking to the DUP, and if they can be persuaded that there's a reason for supporting this agreement, well, that would heavily influence my position." But it looks like he has given up on the DUP and decided to jump first, to jump ahead of them.
Yes, absolutely. I think basically the European Research Group, the hardline Brexiters, the DUP, and some other kind of pro-Brexit people act as a kind of set of dominoes. As soon as one of them falls, a lot of the others will. It's just a case of seeing who blinks first. And it looks in this case, you know, I think for no reason I can fathom, a lot of people in Westminster expected the DUP to jump first, when obviously the European Research Group were going to. And it looks like they're ready to do that now. It looks like Jacob Rees-Mogg and Boris Johnson are ready to jump onto May's deal just to escape the possibility of a kind of Norway-style Brexit. So it looks like they're about to jump, and as soon as they do, the European Research Group will as well. And then she might just get over the 75 threshold.
And do you think, for instance, that that's the number she needs to convert and hold on to the ones that she had from the defeat of 149? But, I mean, will people like Bill Cash go along with this again, however reluctantly, and people like Andrew Bridgen?
I think they might do. I'm going to a very hardline Brexiter event later to try and find out. I think at this point, you know, there may even be a number of Labour MPs who go along with it because they see May's deal as preferable to no deal. And that's been her tactic all along, basically, to use the prospect of no deal as a scare tactic. And that didn't particularly work. But the prospect of a softer Brexit is what is, you know, terrifying a lot of people at the moment. So I think a lot of the hardline Brexiters are waking up, realising they'll never get what they want, that MPs will not let them have no deal. And so a lot of them are kind of very reluctantly moving towards May's deal as the best of, both worlds.
Does this look like, if it happens, a triumph for the Prime Minister?
Yes, it will actually be something that she's managed to get through at this moment. But she still has her entire party asking her to go. And one of the conditions for a lot of people backing the deal was that if she got the deal through Parliament, she would then resign. So she has everybody desperately asking her to stand down, and if she does get this deal through, it will be a triumph for her, but then a lot of people will be expecting her to quit immediately and for somebody else to step in.
Right, which again raises all sorts of other possibilities that we don't really have time to talk about, but in the meantime, these indicative votes, they go ahead.
Yes, it'll be interesting to see what the outcome of them is. Basically, the MPs want to give a very clear picture of how they feel about Brexit so that they could possibly forge together their own deal. But the Prime Minister has come out and said, you know, essentially said that she's not going to listen to them. But it remains to be seen whether she'll change her mind on that. It would be, it would look a lot better for her if she did.
And when do you think she might go back then for that third meaningful vote?
Possibly Thursday. So she said on Monday that she originally planned to put it forward on Tuesday. Yesterday she said she didn't have the support. But I think by Thursday, you know, especially if Jacob Rees-Mogg is turning now, she might bring it back and hope that she actually does have the support at that point. I think the DUP will still be voting against it, though.
It is fascinating stuff. A few twists in it yet, I suspect. Dawn, thank you very much indeed for joining us with that analysis. That is Dawn Foster, columnist with The Guardian. I'll be speaking to two remarkable young women about how their family, six siblings, coped with the loss of their two parents all within just over a year. That's after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.